Hi guys, this is episode 52B of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. I didn't get to finish recording last week when I recorded episode 52 and had to leave out my In the Kitchen and When I'm Reading. So I promised that I would do a little mini episode, and here it is. So I am going to talk about In the Kitchen and What I'm Reading, and hopefully this will be a very short episode. I do want to start out at the very beginning with a PG-13 warning, because one of the books that I read is Bonk by Mary Roach, and I'm not going to leave out the subtitle of that in case you want to check it out and see what the topic was before you continue listening if you have small children or if it is a topic that is not of interest to you. I thought I would put that out there at the very beginning just in case anybody is put off by the topic. So let's move to In the Kitchen. So I have five things on my list to talk about, and three of them I'll go sort of into depth in. The first one is just a very simple crock pot dish that I made that I would recommend. My family really loved it, and it could not have been easier. It was crock pot steak and gravy, and of course I found it on Pinterest. And all it was about 2 pounds of steak. I used top sirloin, I believe. And you put that in the crock pot, and you sprinkle it with 2 packets of brown gravy mix and a packet of au jus mix. And pour water on top of it. I think it was 2 cups of water, but I'm not 100% sure. Then you turn it on low and you let it cook all day, and that is all there was to it. We served it over rice. Next time, I probably would throw in maybe some potatoes or carrots or something just to have a side that I didn't have to cook when I got home. I had meant to cook broccoli, I believe, when I got home, and I don't remember what happened that day, but for some reason, the broccoli didn't get made, so we just had steak and rice, and I really like to try to throw in a vegetable, although they're not my favorite, I will admit it. So there's that recipe. Super easy. I mean, really could not be easier. And then the next thing I wanted to talk about was homemade bread. I have never been a big bread baker, but I am starting to try my hand at it just a little bit. I am sorry, guys. My dog seems to be super itchy today, so if you hear her scratching, that's what that is. But I decided a couple of weeks ago that I wanted to, I just got it in my, well, I got a bee in my bonnet, I guess. I wanted to try my hand at some bread. So I have the Cook's Illustrated Baking Book and pulled it out and just found a basic recipe, and I made American loaf bread, which was just a very basic, exactly like it sounds, white bread and a loaf. And it was really easy. The recipe calls for quick rising yeast, so you don't have to, what's the word that you, I don't know the word, I obviously am not a big bread baker, where you have to do something to the yeast. You don't have to do that here. It's basically bread machine yeast, so you don't have, it doesn't take as long to rise, and it doesn't, you don't have to go the extra step with the yeast. It turned out beautifully. Did have a little bit, like there was one like kind of bubble on the side of it, but it tasted great. It was really, really good. And it's something I need to do more often. If you have been hesitant to try your hand at baking bread, find an easy recipe and give it a shot, because I think it will give you the confidence to do a little bit more. I know that it's giving me that confidence. I've gotten a lot braver with my baking over the past couple of years. I also made Death by Chocolate brownies from the Sally's Baking Addiction cookbook. I have actually three Sally's Baking Addiction recipes to talk about. Two of them from the cookbook and one of them that I just found on the web. But the first one that I made was Death by Chocolate Brownies, and I made these back over spring break, so a couple of weeks ago. And I actually almost made them again, and it just didn't materialize. But these were some of the best brownies I've ever made. I like very fudgy brownies. I am not a cakey brownie fan. I know, I'm not going to turn away chocolate. I will eat a cakey brownie, but I much, much prefer fudgy brownies. And that's what I grew up with, the ones that my mom made and then that I learned on, the first brownies I made were very, very simple and very fudgy, very dark chocolatey. And these reminded me a lot of those. There was a little difference. I think the ones that I grew up making, we used unsweetened chocolate and then, you know, added sugar to that. And these used either bittersweet or semi-sweet chocolate. I can't remember exactly what the recipe was. And then it also had semi-sweet chocolate chips in it as well. And these, density, I guess, of the brownies was exactly what I like. They were, you know, the perfect crispness around the edges, and the chocolate chips just added that extra something. These were delicious brownies, and I will absolutely make them again. Now, one thing about the Sally's Baking Addiction cookbook, I tried to avoid it, but I ended up buying an extra baking dish because a lot of her bar recipes call for what's the size? I think an 11x9 baking dish. And usually I have a 8x8 square or a 9x13. So this was a slightly smaller dish that I had never really used before. But since there were enough of the recipes that called for it, I went ahead and bought one. And that was the case. I bought it so I can make these brownies. I really like the size, actually, because you end up with a slightly thicker brownie than you would if you used a 9x13. And I think typically you'll cut it into 20 pieces, which just seems, I don't know, it appeals to me. So that's just an aside about the cookbook. I've noticed that several recipes, this was the first one I had actually used, but I had seen that several recommended it. So I went ahead and bought it. The other thing I made out of the cookbook were mint chocolate chip cookie dough bites. And these were super easy. Basically, it was chocolate chip cookie dough. Chocolate chip cookie dough without the eggs with a little bit of mint extract added. And then instead of chocolate chips, you used Andy's mint candy, Andy's mints. You can buy the pieces in the baking aisle. So I used that instead of chocolate chips. And basically you make that, you chill them, you roll them into balls, and that's all there is to it. Seriously. Because they don't have eggs in them, you don't have to bake them. You have to worry about getting salmonella. So Those were a hit, even with my family, who's not a big fan of mint. So that was a super easy recipe. Another one that I would highly recommend from Sally. And then the last recipe that I want to talk about is the blueberry cheesecake that I made for my husband's birthday, which was April 4th. And I have gotten much better at making cheesecakes over the past little bit. Except maybe the first one that I ever made, I don't think I've ever made one that didn't taste good, but they have not always been pretty. I've often made ones that cracked really badly and just weren't necessarily the prettiest thing. If you have been listening for a while, then you may remember that I made one for Eli's birthday last summer. That was fabulous. It was a lemon blackberry cheesecake. I think that one may have also been a Sally's Baking Addiction recipe, but I'm not 100% sure. It was before I got the cookbook and before I had really started making her recipes, I believe. But this one was a blueberry cheesecake, and it was kind of funny because I have a Pinterest board that's full of cheesecakes. Just because I like cheesecake. It's not my dessert of choice necessarily. But Jimmy and Eli both love cheesecake, so I have this board that they can choose from for their birthday cakes or if they ever request something. So I had Jimmy look through, and he picked the blueberry cheesecake, which just happened to be a Sally's Baking Addiction recipe, which was kind of funny. But this cheesecake was absolutely the best cheesecake I've ever made. Not necessarily taste-wise, although it was very good. I mean, there was nothing wrong with it. I just think some of the other ones I've made have been equally good. But this one didn't crack at all. It was just beautiful. It was a beautiful cheesecake. The only thing that I would change about it is I didn't actually measure the graham crackers for the crust. The graham crackers, it called for, I think, a cup and a half of graham cracker crumbs, which equaled about 12 crackers. And I didn't pay attention. I just grabbed 12 crackers. And then, in retrospect, I think I probably should have had a little bit more to make the crust a little thicker. And then I probably should have baked the crust just a little bit longer because it did stick to the pan a little bit when I unhooked the springform pan. Other than that, this was a perfect cheesecake. It tasted great. It was pretty. The texture was right and it didn't crack. And I could not have been more pleased. So one more notch in the belt for Sally's Baking Addiction. So that is all I had to talk about for In the Kitchen. I did make grilled cheeses for dinner last night, and one of my recipes, if you search the blog, I'm sure it's in, you can find it there, but I have a recipe that from Serious Eats for the very best cheese, or the best grilled cheese sandwich, and it truly is the best I've ever made. But I have that somewhere on the blog. If you search, you can find out how I did that, and this was really good grilled cheeses. So what I'm reading, gosh, I finished a lot and I'm still reading and I've got something upcoming, but I'm going to try to make it quick. Okay, first things first, I finished 3 books since we talked last. The first of those was Sharp Teeth by Toby Barlow, which is what I was reading the last time I recorded. This was a book written in verse about werewolves in the Los Angeles area, and it wasn't... Obviously, there is a fantasy lean to this, but it was much more realistic fiction, and there wasn't anything magical about it. I don't know how to explain it. There were basically these packs of men, or either packs of werewolves, and there was kind of a crime undertone to it and a little bit of a romance, not heavy on the romance at all, but it was more just a realistic, well, I mean, you can't really call it realistic fiction, but it wasn't written in a fantastical way. It was just very, you know, this is what was going on. They basically, the pack leaders they were trying to build up their packs, and they would target typically boys who had, you know, for whatever reason, they were lost. They were, something had gone wrong in their lives. They were not happy, you know, they were in a bad place, and they would convince them that they could give them a better life and they would change them. And then each pack also typically had a girl or a woman in it, and she was kind of off limits. She was the, excuse the language, bitch of the pack. And they, sometimes there was a little bit of sex there, but in some, like one of the packs, they used the girl, not used as in rape, but she was, there was sex between several of the pack members and this particular girl. And then there, the other pack, she was off limits. So it was obvious. I mean, it was just like any other, you know, any other group of, kind of like, you think of them like a gang, really. They were more like, the packs were like gangs. And, you know, the attitude would change depending on which pack it was. So it was a really interesting book. I really enjoyed it much more than I thought I would. It took me a little while to get past the verse thing, but for the most part, I really liked it. This was one of those I wasn't sure if I was going to make it past my 50 pages, but then I kind of tore through it. So I highly recommend that book. Again, that was Sharp Teeth by Toby Barlow. And then I also finished Bonk, which is what I mentioned at the beginning of the episode. So it's Bonk, The Curious Coupling of Science and Sex by Mary Roach. And one of the reviews that I read put it very nicely. They said this was basically advanced sex education, or I don't remember how exactly they put it, but it was, it wasn't the basic sex ed that you have in high school or wherever, whatever age you take it, which is, basically the mechanics and the biology behind it, but just a very bare minimum. This was much more into the mechanics and it was basically the science of sex. And it was really interesting. There were some parts of it. Actually, I was reading it in the hardback copy that I had checked out from the library, and I ended up buying the book so that I could read it on my iPad, because there was enough subject matter in there that I was a little, the idea of my seatmate on the bus looking over and seeing what I was reading made me a little uncomfortable. But it was really interesting. It talked about, literally the science behind erections and orgasms and, it's been too long since I read it now. But it was very clinical. It talked a lot about the Kinsey Report and the science of the investigations behind that, and about, what are their names? Who was the other group? The couple? I can't remember. So there was Kinsey, and then there was this other group. I cannot remember. Anyway, but the ones that you've heard about and how they came up with their data and some very interesting experiments that took place it was very candid, and it was really good. It was very clinical. And I've been very interested in Mary Roach's other books. She's written, the ones that I remember right off, she wrote Spooked, which was about, spiritualists, mostly in the, 19th century. But I did not read all of that. After a while, I didn't really like that one very much. She also wrote, Steph, which is about cadavers. And I own that one, but I have never read it yet. And, Packing from Mars, I think, is the other one. And we have that one, but I don't actually know very much about what it is. So her style actually reminded me a lot of Bill Bryson, with just a little bit, of a quirkier subject matter. The kinds of jokes that she threw in and that type of stuff reminded me of Bill Bryson. So if that's up your alley, I recommend it as a read. It was not my favorite read of the year, but it was very interesting. And then the other book that I finished is Nazi Hunters, How a Team of Spies and Survivors Captured the World's Most Notorious Nazi by Neil Bascom. And this was about the capture of Adolf Eichmann in 1960. Adolf Eichmann was the man who was basically orchestrated the Holocaust, and he was discovered living in Argentina, and it was all about how they assembled this team of Israelis to right after Israel had become a country, and how they managed to go to Argentina, capture him, bring him back to Israel for trial. And this is actually a young adult book. I got it off of one of the book lists I read. It's a very serious topic for a young adult book, but the writing style, I could tell when I was reading it. It was shelved in the adult section at the library. But when I was reading it, I could tell by, you know, the language that it was intended for a slightly younger audience. It was very exciting. It read kind of like a thriller. And there were parts where I didn't want to put it down because I wanted to know what was going to happen next. Again, another one that I highly recommend. I've just reading some good things lately. And then finally, I am currently reading The Queen of the Tierling by Erica Johansson. And this is a fantasy book. I would say there's a slight bit of science fiction in it, in that the premise is very interesting. When you start the book, it feels like you're reading about, I would guess, like medieval England or Europe. And as you read, you realize that this is actually postmodern, that something happened and the English and the British, they crossed an ocean. I'm not exactly sure where this was supposed to be. And they ended up, I don't know why, I haven't gotten far enough, maybe that we'll go into why, but they ended up forming these colonies, and one of the, I'm doing terrible justice to this, but basically one of them, I mean, they eschewed all technology, and it basically brought them back to the, you know, what we think of as like middle age era living. I don't know, but it is really, really good. I'm highly, highly enjoying this book. It's a big, thick book. It's over 400 pages, but it's a quick read. It's very exciting. I am so terrible at describing these types of books, but if you read like, I don't know if it's historical fiction, but more like fantasy of that era, where you've got, you know, the good queen, and maybe there's an evil presence that she's going to have to deal with at some point, and, you know, it's very exciting, and there's intrigue and things like that. I would highly recommend this book. Like I said, I'm not doing it justice. Go to Amazon, read the reviews of it, and see what you think. This is one that I really enjoy. And last but not least, I am maybe going to pick up another one. I got an email yesterday that our book club has not been meeting a lot. And, it's supposed to meet this coming weekend, and a book was proposed that was a young adult book called, I'm sorry, I'm pulling up my Overdrive app to see what it is because I can't remember. It is, okay. Well, that's not helpful. It's called The Sky is Everywhere. And I can't remember who it's written by. The Sky is Everywhere by Jandy Nelson. And I'm going to read you what it's about because I don't know. Adrift after her sister Bailey's sudden death, Lenny finds herself torn between quiet, seductive Toby, Bailey's boyfriend who shares her grief, and Joe, the new boy in town who bursts with life and musical genius. Each offers Lenny something she desperately needs. Though she knows if the two of them collide, her whole world will explode. Join Lenny on this heartbreaking and hilarious journey of profound sorrow and mad love as she makes colossal mistakes and colossal discoveries, as she traipses through band rooms and forest bedrooms and ultimately right into your heart. As much a celebration of love as a poignant portrait of loss, Lenny's struggle to sort her own melody out of the noise around her is always honest, often uproarious, and absolutely unforgettable. So I'm trying to decide if I want to read it. I have it checked out in Overdrive from the library, and it sounds like something I would like to read, but the problem is that I've been doing really well at just reading from my lists and being very organized. I've gotten more books read this year by this time. I mean, my goal for the year, I think, is 24 books, and I think I've read 12 or 13 already, so I'm doing really good, and this is the kind of thing that throws me off. But I'm also going to the Texas Library Association conference leaving tomorrow, and I kind of don't want to bring this honkin' library book that I have, so I think I might actually read this one so that I can just have it on my iPad. But I'll let you know if, next time I record if I have read it or not. So that is everything. It was a little longer than I expected it to be, but I got it out there. I'm glad I didn't try to do this the other day when I was recording. That would have been a really long episode. So I will get this uploaded and out there for you hopefully sometime today. I will talk to y'all soon. Bye.